The American president is the most important political leader in the world. The reason is simple. He governs a nation whose economic and military policies shape the lives of people in every country on every continent. The president can and does order invasions, embargoes, and sanctions. The economic policies he shapes will resonate in billions of lives, perhaps over many generations. During the next decade, who the president is and what he or she chooses to do will often affect the lives of non-Americans more than the decisions of their own governments. This was driven home to me on the night of the most recent U.S. presidential election, when I tried to phone one of my staff in Brussels and reached her at a bar filled with Belgians celebrating Barack Obama's victory. I later found that such Obama parties had taken place in dozens of cities around the world. People everywhere seemed to feel that the outcome of the American election mattered greatly to them, and many appeared personally moved by Obama's rise to power. Before the end of Obama's first year in office, 5 Norwegian politicians awarded him the Nobel Peace Prize, to the consternation of many who thought that he had not yet done anything to earn it. But according to the committee's chair, Obama had immediately and dramatically changed the world's perception of the United States, and this change alone merited the prize. George W. Bush had been hated because he was seen as an imperialist bully. Obama was being celebrated because he signaled that he would not be an imperialist bully. From the Nobel Prize Committee to the bars of Singapore and Sao Paulo, what was being unintentionally acknowledged was the uniqueness of the American presidency itself, as well as a new reality that Americans are reluctant to admit. The new American regime mattered so much to the Norwegians and to the Belgians and to the Poles and to the Chileans and to the billions of other people around the globe because the American president is now in the sometimes awkward and never explicitly stated role of global emperor, a reality that the world and the president will struggle with in the decade to come. The American Emperor. The American president's unique status and influence are not derived from conquest, design, or divine ordination, but ipso facto are the result of the United States being the only global military power in the world. The U.S. economy is also more than 3 times the size of the next largest sovereign economy. These realities give the United States power that is disproportionate to its population, to its size, or for that matter, to what many might consider just or prudent. But the United States didn't intend to become an empire. This unintentional arrangement was a consequence of events, few of them under American control. Certainly there was talk of empire before this. Between Manifest Destiny and the Spanish-American War, the 19th century was filled with visions of empire that were remarkably modest compared to what has emerged. The empire I am talking about has little to do with those earlier thoughts. Indeed, my argument is that the latest version emerged without planning or intention. From World War II through the end of the Cold War, the United States inched towards this preeminence, but preeminence did not arrive until 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, leaving the U.S. alone as a colossus without a counterweight. In 1796, Washington made his farewell address and announced this principle: "The great rule of conduct for us in regard to foreign nations is in extending our commercial relations, to have with them as little political connection as possible." The United States had the option of standing apart from the world at that time. It was a small country, geographically isolated. Today, no matter how much the rest of the world might wish us to be less intrusive or how tempting the prospect might seem to Americans, it is simply impossible for a nation whose economy is so vast to have commercial relations without political entanglements or consequences. Washington's anti-political impulse befitted the anti-imperialist founder of the Republic. Ironically, the extraordinary success of that Republic made this vision impossible. The American economy is like a whirlpool, drawing everything into its vortex, with imperceptible eddies that can devastate small countries or enrich them. When the U.S. economy is doing well, it is the engine driving the whole machine. When it sputters, the entire machine can break down. There is no single economy that affects the world as deeply or ties it together as effectively.